it's easy to kind of shut your mind off during the song service and I'll wake it back up for the preaching, but there's rich truths to be enjoyed during the song service. Draw me nearer, right in the corner where you are, some good truths. Let's go again to Luke chapter 2. This morning, we talked about this idea of about the Father's business. In between Jesus' birth and Jesus' baptism that initiated his ministry on this earth, we don't know a whole lot about what was going on in the life of Christ. We do have this sneak peek at him going into the teenage years at the age of 12 here in Luke chapter 2. And we kind of went through and saw some things that took place before Christ said these words to his mother and father when they found him. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So the parents, of course, had gone to Jerusalem, had headed back toward Nazareth, and didn't realize that Jesus was not with them. So we brought up the idea of the assumptions that Christ was a part of what was going on, and he was not. And we warned everybody, make sure that you don't just assume Christ is who he ought to be or where he ought to be in your life. Make sure if you're unsaved, receive him. Get saved. If you're saved and you're just going through life, not being careful to spend that time with the Lord. Again, in the model prayer, it does say, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And that's part of every day, taking that time to make sure you're tuned into what he wants that day. We talked about the astonishment that Christ had such an authority with the scriptures as he handled them. And we kind of brought up the idea of interest, that he was interested in godly things. And we encouraged us to make sure that you're not allowing yourself to just be drawn to what naturally interests you. Again, make sure you spend that time in God's Word, making sure the things that aren't that important according to the Bible, I don't want them to be that important to me. And the things that are highly important according to the Bible, I want those things to be highly important to me. And you'll find, actually, that when you make God's interests your interests through time with him and prayer, what a blessing. You'll find that his interests were far more interesting than you thought they were. Then there was the amazement of the parents. By the time they got back, how exciting to see Jesus. They searched all over and they finally found him with the men discussing God's word. Now kids, if mom and dad forgot you here at Fairhaven, where would they think to look for you? They come back to look for you. If there's some place where they're discussing scripture, that's where my child is going to want to be. of course, the playground, the different places. But where? Even a child is known by their doings. Oh, no, my child is there. They're going to be sneaking. Oh, no. Is that you? Is that you? Or, oh, no, we took off and my child is there. Let's find some adults or something productive that's going on, a good, healthy conversation. If we can find that, probably that's what would have drawn my child to that. That's where they found Jesus. Not a bad idea to make sure you're gravitating to those right places. After Jesus spoke these important words, there was blindness. They understood not, the Bible said, and we reminded of that truth that when you're tuned into the Father's will, there will be some that don't understand. There'll be others that say, you're crazy, like Felix did with Paul. Then there was a bending. Jesus was subject unto them. And even though Jesus was perfect and he had imperfect parents, he submitted to them. A good example for us. And then, of course, the blessing there that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Tonight, we're going to look at those important words and kind of unpack them some. There in verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. That's what we'll look at tonight. We'll have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the testimony of the Lord Jesus as we study him. Lord, he was perfect in every way, and even now he prepares a place for us. Lord, there's so many wonderful things he could be doing, and yet he busies himself interceding for us. Who are we that God the Son would spend his time interceding for us? Who are we that God the Son would busy himself preparing a place for us? Help us, Lord, to be in awe of that every single day until you call us home to glory, where finally we can truly be in awe. And it won't take effort anymore to set aside those things that aren't important and focus on the things that are, Lord. I look forward to that day when we can shake this flesh and we can, this sinful flesh, Lord, and we can enjoy good spiritual things and fellowship with you forever and ever. Help us to put the effort into it, Lord, down here. Be careful. Be relying on the strength from the Lord Jesus to be the Christians we ought to be. Busy about the business of the Father that we share, because Jesus died to share his Father with us. Pray you at this time of preaching. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we have here, we'll kind of break this up into three parts. There was a fervency that young Jesus as a 12-year-old, it's kind of young because he never had a beginning, huh? But with this human body, he said, I must. So there was a fervency, and we'll see that fervency all throughout his life. I must. It wasn't, he was excited about, maybe there was a preaching time and he came forward and then the next day he was back to his old self. No, there was, I must, there was a fervency that he lived out in his life. Be about. There was a focus. What was this Father's business? Well, he was the very definition of the Father's business. He was about it his entire life. So there's a fervency and there's a focus that we'll see in the Lord Jesus. And then what was he going to be about? The Father's business. His life was going to be spent doing what mattered to his Father. And so there was a faithfulness to his Father. We'll see those three things tonight. It was NBT was a couple weeks ago, and I enjoyed thinking. 2 years ago, I got to drive for Michigan City. And it was a lot of fun, but of course you're thinking, Lord, help me. I don't know these children. And Alec was with me, and he's going to try to be crowd control a little bit. I'm driving one of those buses, and the mirror keeps, as the bus vibrates, the mirror keeps falling down, and I keep putting it up so I can see what's going on behind me and watch the road. And you're trying to referee a little bit. Nope, that was a foul. You know, stop. You know, and trying to, as we're driving, I'm picking them up in the morning, and there's this one little person with this high-pitched scream. You know, the kind that goes down into the depths of your being. You're like, oh. And you're like, stop screaming. Whoever you are, you have got to stop screaming. And the scream would come again. Listen, whoever's doing that, stop screaming. And they're like, oh, you know, just this happy kid that just loved to make this shrill scream. Finally, I said, whoever's screaming, I'm going to start taking time in the pool away from you. And so a little bit later, this shrill scream again. And I said, Alec, find out who that was. And so he found out the young man and said, it was this person right here, Dan. I'm like, all right, tell him that's 5 minutes out of the pool. And the screaming stopped. Oh, what a blessing. So we get to church. And the kids are all climbing off, and I'm at the door, and I hear on the bus, lying about me. And I'm like, okay. So I get back on, and there's Alec talking to this young man, and I'm like, what are you saying lying about you? And pretty soon it was evident that he was saying, I wasn't the one screaming. They're lying about me. I was falsely accused. And I said, well, Alec, was it this young man that was screaming? He goes, Dad, I was a few seats away. I'm not 100% sure, you know, just 99.99999999, but not 100% sure. So I looked at this young man and I said, listen, if you'll look me in the eye and tell me that it wasn't you that was screaming, I mean, Alec, he's pretty sure it was you, but he's not perfect. There is a chance it wasn't you. But of course, God knows. And if you'll look me in the eye and tell me that it was not you, well, I kind of have no choice but to give you that swim time back. But since God knows, he's the one that would have to do the punishing then. So I'm looking at him, and I said, because anyone can tell a lie, but it takes a man to tell the truth. So if you'll just look me in the eye and say those words, it wasn't me. So I just watched him. It seemed like for about a minute or two, this battle raged inside of him. And really, it was a battle of, I want my five, and again, we're talking 5 minutes of swim time. You know, this huge battle. It was important to this little boy. 5 minutes. I want my 5 minutes, but I also should tell the truth. I should tell the truth. God wants me to tell the truth. I don't want to be dishonest. I want my 5 minutes, but I don't know. It raged and raged, and finally he looks up at me and says, "Fine, it was me." And I said, "Well, I'm so proud. You chose not to take your 5 minutes back, and you chose to tell the truth. I'm going to give you 2 minutes back, and you're only going to sit at the pole for 3 minutes." And again, you know, 3 minutes is nothing, but to that little boy, it was everything. And so I wasn't going to drive both ways. Whoever was the take-home driver, something came up. They weren't able to do the take-homes. And I said, "Well, I know the stops. I'll do take-homes." So I'm out there at the bus, and I'm ready to get on there. And he comes right beside me. And everyone's on the bus, and he's just kind of waiting there. And so everyone's on there. I'm like, "You ready to go?" And he looks up at me and says, "Mr. Mitchell, one more time. Will you tell me what kind of a man it takes to tell the truth?" That was so fun. So I said, oh man. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, I was back again this year for NBT. And he even won some awards. What a blessing. What a blessing. Those decisions for setting aside. He wanted his 5 minutes. He wanted this. But when it came down to it, is what I want what matters, or being pleasing to God, is that what matters? And it was a tiny thing, but it was a little battle for him. And for each of us, we go through that battle, don't we? Am I going to be pleasing to God today, or am I going to live for what I want and live a life of excusing what I want? And really saying, "Well, it's spiritual for these reasons," but really, you know, you're living a life pleasing to you, and you're rationalizing it away. Are we living a life pleasing to God or not? There's no other life that matters. Jesus is our example. As a young man here, he said to his mother and Joseph, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" There was a fervency. There was a desire to busy his life with what mattered to the Father. And Jesus is our example, right? We saw that this morning in 1 Peter 2:21. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. There was a fervency. "I must be about the Father's business." And we need to ask God, help me to share the fervency that Christ had, an urgency, a compulsion, a priority, an eagerness. Hebrews 10:7, speaking of Christ, "I come to do thy will, O God." And we find out that Psalm 40, where these words come from, was messianic back in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, where it adds, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." It wasn't just a matter of I'm here to do what God wants, but I am here to do what God wants, and it's what I delight in. A fervency, a desire. With Luke 22, we mentioned it this morning, where Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes we look at that, we say, was there two unique wills? How would Jesus say, not my will, but thine be done? Wouldn't those wills be the same? Why would he have to say, not my will, but thine? Why wouldn't it be thy will be done, which happens to be mine as well? Well, I don't think there was two unique wills. I think there was a closeness to his Father. Definitely a purpose. They were knit together. But remember what he said on the cross, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't want to be separated from the one to whose will he was knit, but there was no other way. He gave up that for us because he loved us. He delighted to do the will of his Father. What about us? Do we delight? Do we set aside our will? Okay, God, I'll do what you want, and someday I know you'll make it up to me in eternity. I guess I can wait for my heavenly reward. No, Jesus is our example, and he delighted to do the will of his Father. We know that a lot of times when something is our idea, we're excited, and we find the energy inside necessary to accomplish that. I told a Claire story this morning, so I have another Claire story tonight. I remember coming home, and I just sold my house down the street last week. But there's a big front yard, and I remember Claire, she was going to play yard sale. So in my recollection, she had taken, 132,000 items from a house and laid them carefully across the front yard. And she was playing yard sale. And the front yard was covered and neatly arranged. And in fact, as a parent, you'd say, wow, the effort required to make that happen. And just organizing it all. But because she was excited about the idea, she found the energy somewhere to make that happen. All the energy, all the organization, she covered the front yard. Well, the sun was starting to set. And I was like, Claire, I hope you had fun playing yard sale. All of these things have to be put away now. Well, that wasn't her idea. And so all the energy that she found to make her idea happen in the first place was gone. Because Dad's idea now was, let's put all these things away. And by let's, I mean you. And I think I knew that I was going to probably have to help her at least some. But, of course, she was like, oh, I don't know, Dad. Just exhausted. Just ready to crash. I mean, I'm sure that tomorrow morning we could take care of it. I'm sure tomorrow I would have the energy sufficient to the need of this task. But I'm like, get busy. And it was effort. It was work. Because it wasn't her idea. It was my idea. And it's hard to live out somebody else's idea. Do you find Christianity is hard sometimes because it's God's idea? You find that it's difficult to find the energy to live for him? Well, Jesus is our example. He didn't just, I'm here to do thy will. He said, I delight in thy will. I love you, God, so much that because it's your idea, it's my idea too. Because I love you. Oh, Christianity becomes way more exciting. Just like the Claire pre-playing yard sale had all the energy necessary because it was her idea, and all that energy was gone because it was Dad's idea. Which one are you? Are you pre-yard sale Claire or post-yard sale Claire? Is it just so much work living this Christian life? It's not supposed to be. Boy, Jesus is our example. I must be about my Father's business. And I delight to do thy will, O God. For Paul, it was for me to live is Christ. What God wanted wasn't an interruption with what Paul wanted. What God wanted was his life. For me to live is Christ. there in John. Let's turn there for a moment. John chapter 9. Keep your finger here, but in John chapter 9, we have the man born blind, right? John chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 3. Who hath sinned that this man was born blind? Jesus answered, verse 3, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. This statement Christ made as a 12-year-old was, it exemplified his life for the entirety of his life. The night is coming. I must work the works of him that sent me. Brother Edwards prayed, thank you, God, for allowing me to be a part of a busy church. A church that has this heart of the Lord Jesus that says, I must work. I must work the works of him that sent me. Oh, there are so many nowadays that are saying, oh, you do too much. Enjoy, take time to smell the roses. And I tell you, when you're working for the Lord Jesus and there's a delight there, and it doesn't feel like work, well, there's that delight there. But to share the same heart as the Lord Jesus when he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And then John chapter 4, verse 4, there he is with the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 4, he's going to be with the woman at the well. But John 4, 4, it says, he must needs go through Samaria. He must, there was a fervency. I must needs go through Samaria. And we know why. There was somebody there that needed to hear about the Lord Jesus. What keeps these evangelists on the road? Brother Betrell, driving around because there's time is running out. And there's people that need to hear about the Lord Jesus. What keeps the bus captain going out Saturday after Saturday? There are people that I must needs go. And tell somebody. What keeps the Sunday school teacher preparing those lessons and then going out and visiting those children? I must needs work. I must needs go. I'm sharing the heart of Jesus that I saw as a 12-year-old and that I saw it exemplified through his entire life. Jesus found his completeness in his service for his Father. Jesus found his confidence in executing the will of his Father. And Jesus found his contentment in working the work of his Father. Where do I find my completeness and confidence and contentment? If it's not the same place where Jesus found his, it won't last. It's empty. There was fervency. I must be about my Father's business. Secondly, I must be about. You might ask, what is that book about? They're asking, what's the theme of that book? And you'd say, what is the life of Jesus about? You'd say, well, his whole life was about the Father's business. There's a focus in his life. And you'd say, well, what was the definition of the Father's business? Jesus was the very definition of what the business of the Father was. Boy, Mozart was so amazing at music that his contemporaries described him by saying, Mozart is music. And you'd say, what was Jesus' life all about? Jesus' life was to be. His life exemplified. His life was the very definition of the Father's business. It was what his life was all about. We use that word about in a variety of different ways. We might say among. We might say there were some suspicious people about. I went there and there were some suspicious people about. That means in the area. They were in the area, some suspicious people in the area. Well, Jesus was about the Father's business. Wherever the Father's business was, he was in that same area. Another way we use the word about might be occupied with. We might say the custodian was busy about his duties. So occupied with his duties, the custodian was busy about his duties. Occupied with, and certainly Jesus was occupied with the business of his Father. That word occupied, we see that again. You can stay here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we see this word occupy. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. It says this. Jesus was giving a parable. And we also, it's interesting that this is toward the end of Jesus' life. This is near the beginning of his final week of ministry. And here in chapter 19, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This nobleman pictures the Lord Jesus. He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. So his own wealth he placed in their pockets. His own wealth he placed in their pockets and said unto them, occupy till I come. When we think of the word occupy, we might think of an army that occupies a foreign land. And that's not the usage of the word here. Occupy here is more like the word where we get occupation. What you're going to do to make a living. Be busy about my business. I have placed my wealth in your pocket. Make sure you're busy about my business until I return. You know, God has placed his wealth in our pockets, hasn't he? Amen. The strength that we use to make money or do whatever, where did that strength come from? The money that we find in our pockets, where did that come from? The mind that you use to make the money, everything we have, everything we are, he placed at our disposal, and he says, occupy until I come. Be about my business. And what was his business? We go back to verse 10. Near the end of when he won Zacchaeus to himself, toward the end in Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. What was Jesus here to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. He was about the Father's business. Remember, it was the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What was Jesus here to do? To seek and to save that which is lost. And he called his servants, you and I, to him, and he filled their pockets, our pockets, with his goodness. And he said, until I come back, be busy about the things that I was busy about. And the Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. All the focus of the Lord Jesus. But we're so distracted, aren't we, in this country? Americans aren't irritated by distraction. We're addicted to it. We're addicted to our distraction. We feel if my phone isn't dinging with some notification from the other side of the planet, I feel like I'm not connected anymore. We have FOMO, the fear of missing out, right? No. If someone in Alamogordo has cold, and I know someone who knows somebody who knows someone who knows that person, well, I need to know about it too. Every sniffle across the planet, I need to be aware of those things. You know, with our phones, it seems like we can be everywhere. And God didn't design us to be omnipresent. Sometimes our attention is so broad that we're unable to do what's right in front of us. Brother Betrell was saying his fuel filter went out, or fuel pump, one of those. And so this guy had to come and help him. And of course, that's irritating when your vehicle breaks down. But this man came and helped him, and he was able to lead that man to the Lord to be saved. Boy, if we're so focused, if our mind is, oh no, I need to be there. I need to be there. And now my truck is broken down. And your brain is way off in the future. And I have a schedule to keep. I need to be there, and I need to be there. And there's a person right here. And we miss them. Because our brain is everywhere. Except where God has placed us. Right here. A focus. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, The things of God should not be back burner. There in John 8, we were just real close there, John 8, verse 29. And again, we're looking at the example of Jesus, John 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. Not what will put a smile on my face today, but what will put a smile on his. That's the life you should be living. That's the life Jesus lived. And he is our example. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let him be directing your steps, letting you know what you're supposed to be doing. All right, dads, I'm going to make you cringe. Brother Rose, I'm going to make you cringe. You ready? So you find out maybe there's a work party. Pastor Smith is on a work party. And I'm going to stop by and encourage my boy, see what he's up to. You're looking forward to seeing him work. And somehow, maybe there's some raking that needs to be done. And you get there, and boy, he's got a big, 64-ounce glass of soda in this hand, styrofoam cup, and he's got the rake in the other hand. And you can just see him, Any good dad is going to, hey, can I see that drink for a minute? Oops, I dropped it. Get both hands on that rake and focus on the task that's at hand. And I kind of think that sometimes the work of God is that rake that's in our hand, but we're hanging on to something else. What is it? What's that other thing that's occupying one of your hands? You're kind of halfway doing the work, but there's no raking getting done with one hand kind of moving leaves around the yard. There's no raking getting done. Put that drink down. Get both hands on there. But what is it that's distracting us? Jesus was all about the Father's business. I must. There was a fervency and a desire. He wanted to do the will of his Father. Be about. He was focused. He was the very definition. What was the life of Jesus about? When you and I pass away and they put an overview of our life on the tombstone, will it be those things that we know about Jesus? He did always those things that pleased the Father. Or his life was out the Father's business. That's the goal. That's the goal. The fervency and the focus. And then what was it all about? The Father's business. His whole life. Even here, we just looked at Luke chapter 19. Toward the end of his life, he gave that parable. And he said, occupy till I come. His whole life was about the Father's business. It wasn't, I'll do it as a young man. It wasn't, I'll do it as a middle-aged man and then I'll retire. It was his whole life was going to be about the Father's business. Let's go back over to John chapter 4. Jesus, he had faithfulness that finished. He was able to go his whole life and be faithful. And we can too, because Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. He was able to do it, and he offers us his strength so we can do it too. John 4:31, and again, I see myself and the disciples here. They had gone off to get food, an important part of life, right? And so there's Jesus witnessing to the woman at the well, and they come back with food. They're like, yay, we're the heroes. We have food. And they show up. And so the woman at the well, he won her to himself. She goes back to the city. And in verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And we Baptists, we like lunchtime. Oh, do we like lunchtime. But they brought food to Jesus. And they're like, here, eat. And he's like, oh, I'm occupied with something far better. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Faith that finishes. Boy, in John chapter 17, again, toward the end of that high priestly prayer, toward the end of Christ's life on this earth, there in John chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Jesus is our example. He was about the Father's business, and he was going to do that work all throughout his life. And of course, we have those precious words in John 19, verse 30, when he said, it is finished. The Father's business, his whole life, every breath he drew was going to be in carrying out the Father's business. Again, I can't shake what Pastor Williams said. He's with the Lord even now. And as an older man shriveled up with cancer, he gave that testimony. And he says, it's not my love for him that keeps me going. It's his love for me. And boy, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Father's business, that love, God loved. And because of that love, he gave. And when we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we should have that love. And his love should constrain us in this life and hold us to the task of carrying out the Father's business. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, remember we talked about that? I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. Is God's will a joy that is set before you? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul, he figured out how to have faith that finishes, to follow his example of the Lord Jesus Christ there in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, when he got saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And it took a lifetime to carry it out. But at the end of his life, what does the Bible say there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He was able to say those precious words, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus, he was able to know the fervency, the focus, and the faithfulness of carrying out the Lord's business. Boy, the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let me go there real fast. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. I'll go back to verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, victory through Jesus, because of Jesus, because of victory through Jesus. Therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'll close with Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He longed to dwell in the house of the Lord. This morning we mentioned that Jesus, his home was heaven, didn't we? Home was heaven, and he came down here to live a life, to be an example to us, and then to die for our sins. But you could imagine stepping away from heaven, him being a little homesick, and he found great comfort being in the house of his Father, in the Father's house. Let me remind you that we, like Jesus, once you're saved, this world is not our home. Does it feel like this world is our home sometimes? We're getting a little too comfortable. Oh, the closer you get to Jesus, there's a blessed homesickness. And again, that model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. 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 I'm going there. Thank you. I don't deserve to go there, but God, I'm going to be in heaven with you forever and ever. I'm a little homesick. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Keeping that in mind, that should help us as we study Jesus. I must, that fervency, be about that focus, the Father's business, faithfulness to what matters to him. Are you homesick tonight? We can think about the Father's business, the example of the Lord Jesus, even as a 12-year-old, but looking at the rest of his life that exemplified the truths we looked at tonight. Oh, to be like Jesus. Let's...